The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Good evening. This week's Parsha is Parshas Matos, Parshas Matos and Masei. Parshas Matos, we have the Parsha of Shavuos Unedorim, Oaths and Vows. Vayidaber Moshe al Rosh HaMatos Livnei Yisrael Lemor. And Moshe spoke to the heads of the Matos, to the heads of the tribes, the Bnei Yisrael, saying, Ze HaDovar Asher Tzivo Hashem. This is what we have commanded Hashem. Ish ki ido nedol Hashem, o hishov hashvua. A man that takes a vow to Hashem, o hishov hashvua, or an oath, leso isor al nafshoi, to forbid something upon himself, lo yachel dvore, bechol hayetze mipiv yaseh. We have he is bound to keep the oath and to keep the vow with both a mitzvah aseh and a mitzvah leis aseh, a positive commandment and a negative commandment. Lo yachel dvorei, he shall not break his word. That's the negative commandment. Kechol hayetze mipiv yaseh, and he shall fulfill whatever words have come out of his mouth. This is the positive commandment. What is the word lo yachel dvorei? Rashi tells us, Yachel comes from the word chulin. Chulin means to profane. Kimei lo yechal al dvore le yase dvore of chulin. He shall not profane his words. Actually, the word chulin comes from the word cholol. Cholol means a vacuum, empty, emptiness. And chulin is the opposite of kodosh. From here we see that a person's words have kedusha, they have a sanctity, and it's possible to profane them, to extract that sanctity from them, make them empty and profane. Lo yichalel. Now here specifically we are referring to emes and sheker, being truthful with one's words or being deceitful with one's words. But in general, words do have a very, very great sanctity, and one can desecrate his words, and therefore one has to be very careful with these words. Now this evening I would like to devote this year to the subject of profaning one's words, but not in the regards to truth and deceit, which we have given many shurim on in the past, but in regards to another area, which is something that we find, unfortunately, in our generation, in our times, we find very much abused. And that is that our sages have cautioned us in many places that we should always be careful to use a loshen hogon, a loshen nekiya, a loshen kovet. There are various descriptions. Loshen nekiya means a clean language. Loshen hogay means a refined language. Loshen kovet means an honorable language. To the converse, we find loshen she'eino hogon, a word or words which are not refined, loshen meguna, words which are disgusting or repugnant, and then loshen avolis, an evil pair. That goes even further. That's a language which is rude or promiscuous, or what we would call filthy language. Now, the Gemara Mishochim will start with on Daf Gimel. Gemara speaks at length Gemara says, "Domre Bishua ben Levi, le'elam al yitzi odam dover meguna bipiv." A person should never speak, should never bring forth from his mouth a dover meguna, something which is disgusting, a word which is not, which is a disgusting word. Because we see the Torah itself. Now the Torah is very careful with its words. Never uses any extra words. Not only extra sentences for sure, but not only extra words, even extra letters. Every sentence and word and letter means something in the Torah, and it's expounded, it's darshaned. And here we find the Torah went out of its way and added an additional 8 letters in order that it shouldn't mention a word which is disgusting. Wanted to tell us about animals which are pure animals and animals which are impure. So the word pure is tohor, the word impure is tome. It's saying that, actually here it's referring to Noach, when he brought onto his teva, his ark, his boat that he made for the flood, he's bringing both from the pure animals and the impure. But it didn't say mina behema tohora, mina behema tameya. Rather it said mina behema asher einena tohora. Rather than saying behema tameya, an impure animal, it said an animal that was not pure. Didn't want to say the word tome. And because of that, it added an extra 8 letters. Now, we're not speaking here about a word which is unacceptable. There are many words which are people do not, at least they used to, they would not speak in public. We're not speaking about an unacceptable word. Because in many, many, many places in the Torah writes tome. And the Gemara goes into it. But where the Torah didn't have to write tome, it rather wrote eina tohora. Instead of writing the actual word that it was a tome animal, it was an impure animal, it said it was not from the pure animals. Then the Gemara goes further to show even more. Ki yebocho isha shele yetor mikle lailo. Ki omar mikro hi bilti tohor. Again, that the Torah tells of someone who became impure, and instead of him saying upon himself, or it's referring to this person as actually he was tome, it said bilti tohor. He was not tohor. He was not pure. So we see the Torah, even the Torah, goes along at times where it can. A long way will add extra letters in order to distance itself from an actual impure word, to teach us that this is how we should speak. This is on the negative side, which he said, "Al yitzi adam davar magun mifiv," that a person should not use a word which is a disgusting word. On the positive side, Tanya debe Rabbi Shmuel, "Leilam yisapa adam alosh nekiya." Rabbi Shmuel said, a person should always choose a clean word, a clean and a very refined word. He brings an example, Share Bezov Korum Merkav will be Isha Korum Eshav. The Torah wanted to speak of a man riding on a saddle and a woman riding on a saddle of a horse, of an animal. So when it spoke of the man, it said he was riding. He was riding astride. When it spoke of the woman, it said she was sitting. Because that's a more modest and refined language to say that the woman was sitting rather than riding. So the Torah changed the word. Why? In order that you should always choose a Loshon Nekiya, a refined language. Then the Gemara brings Latifcha Loshon Arumi, brings a posuk from Iyub. Tivcha Loshen Arumin, that a person should always choose a nice language. Actually, the posuk Arumim, Orum, means clever and cunning. So I had the question, why is it called clever or cunning? The Metzudas explains, you should use a word when you have to describe something which is not so refined. You should choose cleverly a word that, even though it's not the perfect word for it, but will define it. That's why it's called Loshen Arumim. That even though it's not the exact word for it, but through this way, the person will realize what you're speaking about, even though you do not say the actual word. And then, the Gemara brings another posuk. The Gemara brings a posuk, Vidas Sfosai Biru Milelu. This is also a posuk from Iyub. That choose good wording. Mora says, why do we need three sources? We brought a source from the Torah and we brought two from the Tanakh. We need three sources to tell us Hani Mili Bidaraiso, that when the Torah speaks, it chooses its words carefully in this regard. And Hani Mili Bidrabonon, and when the Rabbonon speak, they also choose their words carefully in this regard. And Hanimili Bemili de Alma. And even when we're speaking of worldly things, even in the marketplace, in business, many times you see people, they'll come into a shul, they'll be very careful how they speak. They'll learn, they'll be very careful how they speak. Or in public. But when they get onto the marketplace, or they get into their business offices, then any language goes. Now, that's why we need three sources. And Hani Mili Bimili De Alma. That even in the marketplace also, a person has to choose a very good language, a refined language, an honorable language, and distance himself from anything that is repulsive or disgusting. The Gemara asks that there are many times we see that the Torah wrote the word Tomei. So we see that Tomei is not actually a bad word. Or there was many times we find in the Gemara that the Gemara didn't want to refer to a chazir, didn't want to say a swine. So refer to it as a dover acher, like, you know, that animal. But at the same time, there's nothing wrong with that word. The Torah does write it. And the Gemara asks, we do see that there are times, batirkavnu alag malim, where we see that the Torah did write about a woman who was riding on a camel. Didn't say she was sitting on the camel, but stated she was riding. So the answer is, the Gemara says, these words, there's nothing wrong with these words. These are good, clean words. But still there are better words. There are better ways to describe it. And that's what we mentioned, Latif Chalosh Narumi, that if you choose cleverly, you can sometimes choose better words. And where the Torah was able to, it chose a better word. Where it was difficult to, then it didn't want to sacrifice the teachings of the Torah or to add confusion, so then it stated those words themselves. So we hear something from here. See, here we're not speaking about what is called Loshen Nevoles, or Nivul Peah, promiscuous language, or unclean language. We're talking about very, very good language. But even then, a person should endeavor, where possible, to choose even a Loshen Hogen, a Loshen Kovod, a better language. The Gemara then brings There were two disciples which were sitting in front of Rav. Chad Oma Shav Sinon, Hashmaitzo, Kedova Acher, Mesankun. They were listening to the shir, and it was a difficult, long shir. And after the end of it, so one said that this shir has tired me out. I'm fatigued like a dova acher. You refer to like a swine. This is how I'm so fatigued. I don't know if he actually said the word chazir or if he just said dova acher, like that animal, but he referred to it. Chad Omar, the other one said, Shafsinan Haishmaitzik Igdimis Ankun. The other one said that this shir tired me out like a tired goat. So one referred to a behemotomea, an impure animal, and one compared himself to a behemotomea, and the other compared himself to a behemotohora. And the one that compared himself to a behemotomea, Rav wouldn't speak to. He stopped speaking to him. We see from here the Gemara is bringing again how important it is, especially those that learn Torah, to choose an honorable language. Rabbi Nechananel says a little further. He says that here he had compared himself. That itself was something repugnant. That itself was something disgusting. To compare yourself to an impure animal, that adds to the lowliness of the language used. And therefore, Rav stopped speaking to this Talmud. More goes further. There were two disciples that were sitting in front of Hillel. One of them was Rabbi Yechem and Zakkai, and others say that it wasn't by Hillel, but it was by Rabbi. And it was a later generation, and one of these was Rabbi Yechanan. They were asking a question. It was a question that had to do when you take out the wine from the grapes and the oil from the olives, and you have to use certain utensils for it. And in one case, the utensils had to be tohor, they had to be totally pure. In the other cases, the utensils didn't have to, so they were asking the differences. So one said, why do we do this in Tahara? And the other, we do not do in Tahara. And the other said, why do we do this in Tahara? And the other one in Tuma. In other words, he used the word Tome, the actual word impure. So the Rebbe, it was either Hillel or Rebbe, said, Muftachani Bozea Shemeira Hirobi Israel. And the one that used, was careful to use the elegant language. So he said, I am confident that this one will become a Meira Herob Israel. He will become a judge in Israel where he will give instruction. And so did it happen, that it wasn't too long before he became a judge in Israel. Then the Gemara brings a final case. There were three kahanim. Charome higiani kipul. Three kahanim, and they were taken from the lechem aponim. The lechem aponim, these are the breads that were baked on Erev Shabbos. And they were placed on the shulchan, on the table in the sanctuary on Shabbos. And they stayed there during the course of the week. And then when the new breads were baked, these were given to the kahanim to be eaten. Now, many times, there were many kahanim that they had to be divided amongst, so the amount that one would get sometimes was not too appreciable. So this is what happened. There were three kahanim, and one complained, Higiani Kipul, that the amount I got was so small it was like a pool. It was like a little bean, little pea. Chad Omar Higiani Kizais. The other one said that the amount I got was only the size of an olive. The third one said, Chad Omar Higiani Kizonev Halta'o. He says, the amount I got was only as large as the tail of a halto. Halto is like a lizard, a very, very small reptile, like the tail of the reptile, which is one of the Shmei Nishrotzim, one of the eight reptiles that are matama, that are impure. The first two compared the amount to a vegetable or to a fruit. The third one compared it to an impure reptile. Now again, this was something that with his choice of words was disgusting, repugnant, because he was speaking here about the Lechem Aponim, the Kedoshim, which is sanctified. And when the Chachomim heard this, they weren't happy with it. And they felt something was wrong. For a person to be Meitzi Dibor, to label Lechem Aponim, for a person to label, to name the Lechem Aponim, the breads of the Kodshim, with a word which is Tomei, that they weren't happy with. Botko Achrov. So they decided to investigate the lineage of this coin. Some say they found the Shemetz Psul. That means they found in his lineage that something was wrong with his kahuna. He was not a Kain Kosher. There was some type of intermarriage that shouldn't have taken place amongst his ancestry, which disqualified him from the kuna. Others say it wasn't a Shemetz psul, but it was a Shachetz psul. They went into his personality, into his character, and they found that he was a person who was a very bad character. He was known to be very arrogant, and so on. This is what the Gemara tells us in this sugya. The Maral Miprag, in his Nesiv Hatznius, in Perigimel, he gives us a few insights into this. Firstly, he says, first Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi came along and he said that we see the Torah distance itself. La'ilam, a person should not say something, al yetzorim dovrim agunim b'pim, something, a language which is a disgusting word, a repugnant word. And you see, because the Torah distance itself from such a thing. Now this is speaking on the negative side. He says, on everything that is good, there is an opposite. For example, you have Tov, you have what is good, and then you have Ra, you have evil. You'll have Shleimus and Chisorim. You'll have something which is perfect and something which is lacking. You'll have a Maila and Chisus, something which is very elevated and something which is very lowly. In all opposites, they are misrachik zemizeh betachlis. They distance themselves to the ultimate. In other words, for the perfection of goodness, you have to distance yourself to the ultimate from evil. For the perfection of Shleimus, which is totality, you have to distance yourself to the ultimate from something, from that which is always lacking. For the perfection of elevation, you have to distance yourself in totality to that which is lowly. So therefore, the when it comes to a Loshon Meguna, it's not enough that you don't actually use it, the word, but you must distance yourself from it. Like we see, the Torah went out of its way, many, many extra letters, to distance itself from it. Somebody who is good, then he must distance himself from that what is evil, to the ultimate. And a person who is supposed to be sanctified, and especially through his dibur, through his power of speech, so it's not enough that he doesn't mention the word, but he must even distance himself from it. He gives an example that we find when it comes to Aveiros Zorah, idolatry. There the Torah tells us not only that we shouldn't serve idolatry, but it says Elohim Acherim Lo Yishom Al Picho, that you shall not even mention the names of other gods but in your mouth. In other words, it would be sufficient that we shouldn't serve other gods. What's the matter with mentioning the names of other gods? So it says Le'ishom al picho, that it shouldn't even be mentioned in your mouth. This is archoko. This is to distance oneself from it to the ultimate. So this is what Rabbi Shua ben Levi is telling us. That we must distance ourselves from these types of words and statements where possible. Then you have from the other aspect, Mitzar HaChiyuv, that from the positive side, we should always choose words which are good words and elegant words, refined words. And that's what Tana de Beir Bishmul said, La'ilam yisaper odom loshen nekiyah. Now, this tells us something further. When a person is always choosing a refined word and a good word, this is a hayro, an illustration of the person himself. It shows a refinement and a purity in the person himself. The word the Hebrew word for word is called niv. Niv's for sign. Niv comes from the word tenuva. Tenuva means fruit. A word is called fruit, like we say, it's the fruits of the mouth. But actually, it's more than the fruits of the mouth. Words are not fruits of the mouth, because the mouth cannot be isolated from the person. But rather, words are the fruits of the person, which comes through his power of mouth and power of speech. Therefore, it's called Nifs Fosai. And just like every tree has different fruits, so does every person have different fruits. And just like you can tell what a tree is by examining its fruit, so can you tell the person by examining his speech. Now, this is something very, very profound. Just as you can tell what the tree is by examining its fruit, so can you tell who the person is by examining his fruits. And his fruits are the leaves for sign, the fruits of the mouth of man. In general, we spoke many times that the power of speech is the paramount power of man, because man was made from the earth. He was given a spirit from above, and together he was created as a synthesis. And there it states, Vayehi Lo'odom, and then Lenefesh Chayah, that man became a living being, And Rashi brings from Targum Ugnos where he became Keach HaDibur. Ruach Mamalo, he was able to speak. The ultimate fulfillment of the man as we know man. See, man is a combination. He's an angel. He has a spirit from above. And he's totally physical from the earth. But being placed together, then he has a very unique position in the creation. The most unique position in the creation. And from here came his power of speech. From this uniqueness. So the power of speech plays a very, very paramount role in man. The fact is that the Chazal tell us the power of speech operates only through all aspects of man. You need intellect, you need emotions, you need physical faculties. And it brings it all together. So therefore the fruits of the person's speech are real fruits of him. And therefore they're called nifs for sign from the word tenuva. And just as you can recognize what a tree is by examining its fruits, and each tree brings out different types of fruits, so can you understand man by examining his fruits. And that's his nifs for sign. Therefore, when you find a person who's always looking for a better word, a more refined word, a more elegant word, a word that has more purity in it, this is a window. It's an insight into the person himself. What type of person he is, what type of spirit he is. People who constantly use crude, coarse language, this is a sign that they are crude and coarse. This is a sign that they are very magushim. In other words, they're very, very physical. The physical is prevailing over the spirit. Not that the spirit is prevailing over the physical. But people that try to choose words that are pure and elegant, that's a sign that the spirit is prevailing over the physical. Unfortunately today, like we mentioned, we're living in a generation that doesn't know from this. It's hard to tell when you hear someone, many people, the way they speak. It's hard to tell if this is an actual insight into them or is it merely by association. That today, because of everyone they're in contact with, speaks like that, so they also speak like that. And this is difficult to tell. There was once a person asked me, he took a young lady out on a date, and he said that she was continually swearing. Her choice of words were very, very crude. He wanted to know my opinion. So I said, in the first instance, it surely doesn't show much of her character. However, maybe it's merely by association that everyone she associates with, she goes to university, it's the campus, or she works in offices, so maybe this is how her boss talks, and maybe this is how the other people talk there. So today, it's distorted, like people they pick up from their environment, but still, this is not how it's supposed to be. Now, when so now the Gemara said that Gemara brings three psukim, brings from the Torah. It brings from the Tanakh, and again, three times. Why? So the Moral says that there are three levels of wisdom. There's the Seichel Elyon, there's the wisdom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which comes from an upper world. And that's the Sefer Torah. Then there is the Chochmas Chachomim, the wisdom of the sages. Now that's a wisdom of man, but in Inyon Elyonim, but in the spiritual heights of the world. Man was given the power to comprehend and even to understand and add, elucidate the spiritual secrets of the world. And that's the Chachomim. This is the Chazal. This is the Torah Shebaal Peh, the oral law. And then there's a third level, and that's Seichel Anushi, Seichel Odom, Biinyone Ailam. That's the wisdom of man when it comes to the wisdoms of the world. So these are the three levels of wisdom. And the Gemara tells us that in all three levels, we must choose a pure and an eloquent language. Not only does the Sefer Torah choose such a language, there for sure we would say that's this, these are the fruits of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. But even in the Seichel HaChachomim, in the wisdom of the sages, also there must be a pure and eloquent language. And even when it comes to the wisdom of man, that has to do with the wisdom of the world, there must be a pure and eloquent language at all levels. So not like it's a custom that you come into a shul, you speak nicely. You're speaking to a rabbi, you speak nicely. But once you're back in the office, then no. I recall many, many years ago, when I was a young boy, it was from an uncle, Olav Shalom, that I had. He told me, he was so surprised, so shocked. In those days, people didn't use the language that is so common today. He was so shocked. He says, he and his partners owned the bakery. And they were having some problems, their labor problems and so forth. So they decided they would go to the mayor with their complaints. It was the mayor of the city. The mayor of the city in the United States is a little more is more powerful than the mayor here and than the mayor's here. Here it's more symbolic. There the mayor was the chief executive officer of the city. And the mayor was a very well-known mayor, very eloquent speaker, a diplomat, a politician, and so forth, statesman. And they went into the mayor's chambers, very elegant chambers. And when they sat down privately and they started to tell him that certain groups were causing trouble, he says they were shocked at his language. He says the filthy language he used and the way he started to curse out those groups and whatnot. They didn't mind that he took their side, but he says the language they were just shocked at. People have public languages and private languages. Languages they use in public. Now this was a mayor in those days that would have never, you could have lost an office, you could have lost an election if you would used one of those words in public. They have two vocabularies. A vocabulary which is used in public and a vocabulary which is used in private. See what the Gemara is saying? That's just what the Gemara is telling us. That there must be a vocabulary that's used when it comes to speaking with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the same vocabulary that's used when it comes to speaking with the Chachomim, and the same vocabulary when it comes to speak in the marketplace. That's how a Jew has to conduct himself. Then when the Gemara says, Muftach ani b'zeh shemeira herobi Yisrael, that the one that was very careful with his language, and he said that I know this, he will become a judge in Israel. How did he know that? Because of what we said. Because one who uses a pure, good language, that's a sign that he has a good and a pure seichel. It's the fruit. The language is the fruit of the mind. And if he's choosing his words where they are clear and zach, and they are pure, this is a sign of what kind of mind he has and what kind of nefesh, what kind of soul he has. And to be meira hero be Yisrael, to give, become a judge and give instruction in Yisrael from the Torah, this is the ultimate in purity and in truth. That's the kind of mind and soul that one needs. So on this Hillel, a Rebbe saw that from the fruits of that person's mouth, this is, was the type of mind and soul he had. He said, "Muftachani bozer shemeira hirob Yisrael." I am confident that one day this person will become a great judge of Torah in Israel. Then we have the case of the Kohen. There were the three Kohanim that took from the Lechem Aponim, from the breads, and each one got a small portion that day, and one said it was only as large as a pea, and the other one said it was as large as a olive, and the third one said it was as large as a tail of a lizard. And they investigated on that one, and they found Shemetz Psul. Shemetz Psul is that they found something wrong in his lineage. His father had married a woman that he was not supposed to, or in his grandparents, they found something wrong there. Now that was mitzad var erva. In other words, there was a union that was not a pure union. And this also is a sign, because if a pure language is a sign of purity of the person, a coarse or a crude language or an impure language is also a sign of what he is. And especially by a Kohen. Why especially by a Kohen? Because a Kohen is Neled Bikdusha. The whole essence of the Kohuna is someone who was born in sanctity. Not everything are you born into. For example, a Talmud Chochem, you're not born. A rabbi, a rov, you're not born. A melech, you're not born. You could be born a son of a king and not become the king. But kohun is by birth. If you're born to a kohen, then you are a kohen. Why? It's leidos mikdusha. It's kedushas haguf. It's the physical sanctity that comes to a person by birth. So if you see a kohen, the Gemara argued, if you see a kohen, especially in those days when they were time of the Beis HaMikdash, if you see a kohen and he's using a language which is an impure language, and especially this he's using as a description for the Lechem Aponim, for something that's kodosh, that's an insight that there's something far lacking in the kedusha of that person. And therefore they felt it came from his birth. So they investigated and they found Shemetz Psul, there was a wrong type of union in his ancestry. There was another opinion in the Gemara with Shachatz Psul. Shachatz Psul was, it was, they found him to be a very arrogant person, and this also is something which is alien to the makeup of a Kohen. Because what is the purpose of the Kahanim? The Torah says Leshoresh, to serve. Kahanim serve HaKodesh Baruch Hu. To serve is an Eved. A servant to Hashem has to be someone who has the character of servitude to HaKodesh Baruch Hu. Just the opposite of arrogance. So from his speech that he could use this type of word, in general, people that use these types of words, this is a sign of haughtiness and arrogance, and especially he used it on the Kedoshim. So this showed us that he was of an arrogant nature, and a Kohen, a true Kohen, has to be Leshoresh, to serve HaKodesh Baruch Hu, an Eved. Therefore, from here, they saw something was wrong. Now, after all that we said, there's still a further level. See, till now we've been speaking about people that have not really been using bad words. It's just their choice of words, or what they described with these words was not good. But the words themselves were not actually bad words. Gemara brings in Masechta Shabbos. We had a little of it in Masechta Ksubas. The Gemara brings in Masechta Shabbos, Daf Lamed Gimel. The Gemara says, Be'oven Nivlais Peh. Because of the Avera of Nivlais Peh. Nivlais Peh, Nivl Peh. Nivl Peh, this is when you use words which are actually bad words. These are words which we would call rude words, promiscuous words. Or this is what, unfortunately, we see today in the media. We see it in the media, we see it in the books, we see it in television, we see it in the movies. This is the pornography of words, which has hit a new low. And this is something that you find in the media. Men use it, and women use it. Men writers and women writers, and on the screen you see children use it. And today it's taken as nothing. Your mother tells us, "Be'oven nivlais peh tzores rabeis ugzeres koshes mischatches." Because of the oven of nivlais peh, great tzores. Many times we're wondering, why are we going through such difficult times in the world? I mean, you don't have to look very far. The Gemara tells us that many reasons why difficult times comes. It says it comes because of bloodshed. The world is full of bloodshed. It comes because of violence. The world's full. It comes because of promiscuity. The world is full. You don't have to look far. But there's another reason why it comes. And that is, Tzores rabeis ugzeres koshes mischatzos. Great tzores comes to the world, and harsh decrees accelerate through the avera of nivlais peh, of people using filthy language. Ubachure seini Yisrael mesim. And the youth, the Gemara didn't even want to say it, the Gemara says the youth of the enemies of Israel will die. It's saying that only because it says when you say over something which is a curse, you should put it on your enemies. But it's referring to the youth of Israel. Bachur Yisrael, Sein Yisrael Mesim. Yisomim ve'almonais, Tzvakin ve'enonenin. And orphans and widows will cry to Hashem, and they will not be listened to. They will not be answered. And the Gemara bases this on a pasuk in Yeshayahu. In Yeshayahu Tes, pasuk Tes sign. It says, Al Kain al Bachurav le Yismach Hashem. There'll come a time, Yeshayahu is saying, when on the youth, Bachurav always represents strength and vitality. It's a young Bochrim. There'll be a time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not have simcha from the youth, because heaven forbid what will happen to them. And on the orphans and on the widows there will be no compassion. He will not have compassion. Because it will be a generation of chonef, of deceit, chanifa, deceit, umeira, evil, v'chol peh deva nevola. And every mouth will speak nevola, every mouth will speak words of filth. V'chol zeis leishov apoy, and still his wrath will not stop, v'od yodei netuyo, and his hand will be stretched out for more. Od is the word ad. So the Gemara darshans, forever, as if his hand, his decree will be stretched out forever. So the Gemara says, what does this pasuk mean? It means tzores rabeis gezeres koshes mischatzos. tzoris, many decrees, harsh decrees will come. Bahure sein Israel mesim, yisem valmonai soakin veinan ernin, as it states, al kein al bechurev leishmach Hashem, and so forth. And then the Gemara says, what does it mean, mai v'yod yodu netuyo, omer v'chanan barova akol yedin kala loma nichnasa lechupa? It's referring to such an example. Everybody knows why a kala goes to the chupa. Elakola manavu fiv, but whoever explicitly announces this, afilo chais min olav gzadin shel shivim shana letova, even if on this person was decreed such a good decree of 70 good years. Now, shivim shana means something. What does that mean? It means a lifetime. In other words, even if it was decreed on this person that he should have an entire life of goodness, haifchin olav l'ro, it is changed for bad, for evil. Amarabe bashila maravchizdo kolamanavel espiv mamikin legehenem. And the Rabbi Bashila Amaravchizdo said, whoever is manavel espiv, he uses his mouth for filthy language, mamikin legehenem, he adds depth to his gehenem. Amarav nachma yitzchok af shemei v'sheisik. And even someone who doesn't speak nivel peh, but he's in the company of others that speak, and he keeps silent, because shemeya ke'ena. This means that if you're in the company of people who are speaking evil peah, mashtikin lahem, you have to silence them. If you cannot silence them, many times you cannot, they won't listen to you. It's the same thing like Loshon Hora. If someone is speaking Loshon Hora, you have to silence him. If you cannot silence him, then you're not allowed to continue sitting there. Then you must get up and leave. But if you stay in that company, then you are considered guilty like them. Now, the onshim are terrible that is mentioned on this. We think that this is nothing. It's only words. What is it? It's only words. First of all, it's not only learned words like we said, but it's the fruit of man. It's an insight, it's a product of his mind, and it's a product of his soul, and it's a product of his emotions. Secondly, just as he influences the words turn around and influence him back. A person who speaks such words, he wallows in this filth, it's going to influence him now further, and it becomes destructive. Thirdly, what we said is that we must not underestimate keach adibur, the power of the speech. The power of the speech is the most profound power of man. Animal does not have the power of speech, and angels also do not have the power of speech. It was only man that was made from both worlds that synthesis gave him that power of speech. And that's what Shlomo HaMelech said, Moves b'chaim b'yad haloshon. And therefore it's all powerful, depending how it's used. It can create death, or it can create life. Moves b'chaim b'yad haloshon. Now the Maral says that Dibur is something which is always considered kosher. Dibur is something which is considered very strong, very hard, very harsh. Many times it states in the Torah, Vaidaber. Vaidaber means Dibur elov koshim, dvorim koshim. Dibur is considered, speech is considered something which is harsh, and very strong. And that's because of its enormous power. Speech goes a long way. And also the enunciation of the words chituch, it's called chituch adibur. Chituch adibur means actually the cutting of the words. When we formulate words, we're actually cutting them. They cut like a knife. And when a person uses the power of dibur for what is wrong, then he brings very harsh and difficult Gzeiros, decrees to the world. Because this power of speech is something which is very strong and very harsh. And he says, if you'll notice all what we quoted in the Gemara brings from Yeshayahu, these are all decrees which are very harsh. For example, it states, Gzeiros koshes mishatshes, harsh and difficult decrees accelerate. Bachuri seni Yisrael meisim, this is something that should strike at the youth. This is something very harsh, because youth are supposed to be healthy. They're supposed to be very vigorous. Or this, when a person is not merachim an yosemim v'almonis, an orphans or widows. This is something which is very harsh. This is a harsh decree, because nature demands that we should be go soft with widows and with orphans, and still le'yirachim. Or, for example, a decree that was made for 70 years of goodness, and then it's turned around. So what's happening? That when we use our power of speech, which innate is something that has enormous power, it's powerful. And when we use that for good, so then the tetzos, the outcome will be good. But when we use it for bad, we can, heaven forbid, bring into the world decrees that are strong, decrees that are harsh, and decrees that are very, very difficult. That's what this Gemara is referring to. And that's why in many places the speech is referred to as a sword. It's like a sword. One final note, and that is, we're all familiar with, and this we've given many, many shurim, on the aspect of speech in regards to Loshon Hara and Rechilus. When you slander, or when you bring machlekes, you bring division with your speech. And we know that's from the worst avedas in the Torah. Here we're dealing with a different aspect. How do we distinguish between the two aspects? And that the Maral says very simply. He says, Loshon Hara and Rechilus, that's when you use your speech to be mazik acherim, to hurt others. You hurt them, you hurt their name, you hurt their panosa, or you hurt their associations, their friendships, you make machlekes. That's Loshon Hara and Rechilus. So then, the speech itself binds itself with machlekes. You become bounded to machlekes through your speech. Your speech is causing machlekes, it's causing hurt. That becomes part of you. That's an enormous avera. Nivul peah is also an enormous avera, but from a different aspect. By nivul peah, you don't hurt anyone with it. You're not being mazik, you're not damaging people, you're not damaging panoso, you're not hurting anyone's name, you're not making machlekes. Nivul peah, rather, is that with your words and your power of speech and your vocabulary, you're sinking to the depths of something which is repulsive, something which is meguna, something which is disgusting, something which is promiscuous. So you're not hurting anybody else, but you're sinking to the depths of something which is meguna, and you're binding yourself to that level through your vocabulary and through your speech. So you're mazikas atzmai. You cause destruction in yourself. Loshon Hara and Rechilus is there through your speech. You bring yourself to cause destruction to others. Nivul peah is through your speech. You bring yourself to cause destruction to yourself, to lower yourself, like the Gemara says that someone who speaks nivul peah, mamikin lai gehenem shaloi, they deepen his gehenem with his speech, his gehenem becomes deepened. And This is both a hayra on where the person is holding, and this itself will cause him even greater loss. So this is the area of Loshon Maguna. And finally, the Rambam writes that Loshon HaKodesh, Loshon HaKodesh, the Hebrew language, he says, why is it called Loshon HaKodesh? Why is it called the Hebrew language? He says, because you will not find in the Hebrew language, now we're talking about the Torah Hebrew language, not necessarily modern Hebrew language, because then many new words were added which are not really Loshon HaKodesh, they're just from other languages. But in the absolute Loshon HaKodesh, you will not find words there that actually describe explicitly something which is nivel and meguna, me'od. And therefore it's called Loshon HaKodesh. The Maral himself agrees to the fact that the Rambam is bringing, but he himself says that he would say it's called Loshon HaKodesh for a different reason, because it's the language that the world was created in, and it's the language that the Malachi Ashoris, that the Malachim use, and it represents the Tzad Kedusha, the sacred part of the person. But he agrees with the fact that in Loshon HaKodesh, in pure, the pure Hebrew language, you do not find descriptive words of that which is promiscuous. Now, Loshon HaKodesh was the language that was given specifically to Klal Yisrael. So therefore, Yisrael in particular have to be very careful with their language. Whether they're speaking Loshon HaKodesh or whether they're speaking other languages, the fact remains that this language was given to them from all of the 70 languages in the 70 nations. This language was given to them because they have the character and the personality which matches it, a higher purity and Kedusha. So Israel specifically has to be careful with their choice of words. Like the Gemara says, Le'ilom Yivchar Odom Loshon Akiya, a vocabulary which is pure, or Loshon Hogain, which is a refined, or Loshon Kovid, which is eloquent, elegant, and noble. In particular, women, for sure. Because in general, we find that Sneas Yisera, we find that women by nature are more modest. In a particular, Benosh Yisrael, the daughters of Yisrael, so they for sure have to be careful that they always choose, are very selective in their choice of words, in their vocabulary, in their talk. This is what the Gemara, some of the Gemaras that have to say on the subject. And this relates to the Rashi in our Chumash of Lo Yichalel Dvorei, that one must be careful not to profane his language, because language comes from the greatest sources of Kedusha.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.